Welcome to Torah Dimecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Liat Meyerfeld, and I'm excited to be learning Sefer Shemot with you. Our Parsha this week is Parashat Yitro. As an opinionated nation, we say of ourselves, two Jews, three opinions. As an opinionated person, I'm often of two opinions, just myself. When preparing this week's Parsha, I found that for every scenario I wanted to share, there seemed to be a variety of opinions as to what happened. I would like to posit here that the actual occurrence is not what's being debated. Not every midrash is meant to be learned literally, but rather the various opinions come to show us that more than the storyline, we're supposed to analyze and strive to understand the free will thought processes, the character-building messages, and emunah-laden symbolism within the story. Let's dig deep. We start this week by learning about Yitro, the father-in-law of Moshe. At this moment, he realizes that none of the other letters after or before his name matter. Doctor of idol worship, PhD of comparative religions, nothing is important except his F-I-L, his connection to Moshe. Yitro's greatness was that he heard, Vayishma Yitro, countrymen, lend me your ears, or rather the Jewish call, Shema Yisrael, to be able and willing to hear the message. It's what life is all about, the godly voice that eternally reverberates, the sounds of Bereshit Bara, God created our fabulous world of opportunity, the sound of Lech Lecha, go for yourself, find your unique path, the sound of the journey through the desert, Lechtecha Charei Bamidbar, to find God everywhere. The sound of the giving of the Torah, to continuously hear, I am the Lord your God, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am yours and you are mine. Within each detail of history, a loving God gently knocks, waiting for us to hear. In hearing and internalizing this eternal calling, there lies each of our greatness. Yitro hears and takes Tzipora, Moshe's wife and children. He goes to meet the Jewish people at Mount Sinai. Moshe and all the leaders go out to meet them. Yitro then teaches us that to really hear means to also put that into practice, and he publicly recognizes Hashem's greatness and brings sacrifices. After this, Yitro sees Moshe judging the people from morning till night, teaching, guiding. Yitro's eternal gift to Moshe and to us is to teach him that Hashem cannot actually give the Torah to a nation that is dependent on one person. You will surely wilt, navo tibol, like a wilted flower. Wilting diminishes the plant's ability to grow, and permanent wilting leads to plant death. And so too you and the people who are dependent on you will not survive. Yitro teaches Moshe that Torah can only be given and then lived and thrived on when the privilege is shared. And Moshe puts courts and lower courts and smaller courts in place so the people are taught by the people, but also know that they have who to go to with questions, all the way back to Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. That is our Morasha Kilat Yaakov, our inheritance as a community. And as Moshe then tells the people, you are all a nation of priests, Mamlechet Kohanim, a holy nation, Goy Kadosh, every single one of us. The Torah is given after 3 days of preparation, then clouds, lightning, shofars blowing. But even those days of preparation feel like they're not enough. The distance from the mountain feels like it's not great enough. And the people tell Moshe it's too much to handle. But Moshe tells them everything that comes from Hashem is to bring you up, lift you, and make you great. Hashem introduces the giving of the Torah. This is what you shall tell the house of Yaakov. Kotomar lebet Yaakov. Speak to the children of Israel. Tagid levnei Israel. Famously referring to first speaking to the women and then the men. Possibly because, as we said, the entire redemption was in the merit of women. In fact, one woman is specifically mentioned as arriving at Mount Sinai. Tzipora arrives with her father, Yitro. We need to specifically know of Tzipora's arrival because the character traits that she espouses are necessary as a counterpart to Moshe in the giving of the Torah. Tzipora needs to be there. The Torah mentions Tzipora 3 times, and we'll look into Midrash for the deeper messages. Going back to Parashat Shemot, we know that in killing the Egyptian slave master, Moshe has finally made a choice to place himself firmly on the Jewish team. After being betrayed, he runs from Egypt, arriving to Midian, to a well, of course. We know what that means. Why there? Because his Basharet is there. We're all journeying towards our destiny, and his perfect partner is in Midian. So at that exact moment, Tzipora and her sisters go out to the well to water their flock, shepherding, of course, being the occupation needed to be a leader. The other shepherds harass them as usual, but Moshe is there to defend them and help water the flock. When they return quickly, Yitro asks how, and when told they were assisted, he tells them to bring that man. The Midrash says that it was Tzipora who ran to get Moshe. Her name, meaning bird, shows us that she rushed like an early morning swallow, and then Yitro marries her to Moshe. So we see that her name implies her greatest character trait, that of Zlizut, in biblical language meaning alacrity. Alacrity is a swiftness, not just in speed, but with a deep desire and joy. Like all good shidduchim, there are three perspectives to Moshe and Tzipora's story, and different versions of each. It's not a game of broken telephone where we aren't sure what really happened. All these versions are transmitted down to us because they each come to emphasize different strengths that were displayed. In one tradition, the initiative to marry Tzipora came from Moshe himself. When he was with Yitro, he saw her actions, and he went to Yitro and asked for her hand in marriage. Yitro replies, "Do you want to do to me what your ancestor Yaakov did? When Lavan gave him his daughters, Yaakov deceived him and took them far away? If you're asking me to give you Tzipora, swear to me that you will not take her far." Moshe immediately swore to him, and it says Moshe consented to stay. Vayeol Moshe. Here we learn about Moshe, that he realized that he had to be proactive in his own destiny. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer brings a second tradition that has many myths based on it regarding a magic sword, Greek mythology, and Excalibur, magicians, the Knights of the Round Table, vying for fair maiden's hand in marriage. When learning our Midrash, we recognize it precedes all these myths by many thousands of years, and obviously we have a different mindset since it's Torah Shebaal Peh. This Midrash depicts Yitro as being the one who decided about Tzipora's marriage to Moshe. Yitro has a wonderful staff. This staff was perhaps a sword, perhaps made of wood from the Tree of Life, or maybe from sapphire. It's one of the 10 things created at twilight of the sixth day of creation before Shabbat. It was given to Adam in the Garden of Eden. Adam gave it to Enosh, who gave it to Methuselah. He in turn passed it on to Noach. Noach bequeathed it to his son Shem, who transmitted it to Avraham. From Avraham to Yitzchak and then to Yaakov, who took it with him to Egypt. Yaakov gave it to Yosef. Upon Yosef's death, all his possessions were removed to Pharaoh's palace. Yitro, one of the magicians in Egypt, saw Pharaoh's staff with his magical symbols, desired it, and took it. He planted the staff in the garden of his house. From then on, there was a challenge for everyone who thought himself wise or knowledgeable or strong or powerful to try and pull out the staff, but no one could until Moshe came. Moshe read the Hebrew on the staff, maybe Hashem's explicit name or the 10 plagues, and pulled it out readily. Knowing then that Moshe was the Redeemer of Israel, Yitro gave him his daughter Tzipora in marriage. Here we see Yitro portrayed as an active participant in a personal religious battle. He has tried all religions and ideologies. No ism has satisfied him. Many people came to show their wisdom that they could pull out the godly staff. And he's always been searching for the person who has the depth and insight to understand the staff. When Moshe is finally able to pull it out, it shows Yitro that Moshe is the one who understands the true God. And he brings Moshe into his family as part of his search and final finding of truth. The final version highlights the greatness of Tzipora. When Moshe showed up in Midian and admitted to Yitro that he was fleeing from Pharaoh, Yitro, who was an advisor to Pharaoh at the time, threw him into a pit and left him there to die of starvation. Tzipora has compassion on Moshe, but also a deep understanding of who he was and stands with him. For 10 years, she secretly took care of Moshe. Another element of zrizut, of alacrity, is continuity. It's not just the initial quick rush to do something with excitement, but to sustain that feeling and be continuously motivated. After 10 years, she turns to her father and says, "This Hebrew who you've jailed in the pit the past 10 years, nobody's come looking for him, so he's probably no longer dangerous to have in our home. Maybe we should send for him, see if he's alive or dead." Yitro doesn't know that his daughter has had shown kindness to Moshe all these years, and he's quite shocked. Is it possible for a man to be locked up for 10 years and survive without food? His daughter says to him, "Father, haven't you heard that the God of the Hebrews is great and awesome? He does miracles for them all the time. He saved Avram from the fire, Yitzchak from the sword, Yaakov from the angel who fought him. And how about this very Moshe who was saved from the Nile and saved from the sword of Pharaoh? I'm sure that God maybe could have saved him now as well." So they went to the pit and found Moshe alive, standing and praying to God. He was taken out, cleaned up, and given a seat at Yitro's table. Tzipora had kept him alive and shown him great kindness. She knows his commitment to the Jewish people and wants to be part of that. Tzipora shows sensitivity and wisdom in how she goes about telling Yitro that Moshe is alive. And when Moshe is then in Yitro's home, Tzipora feels an even deeper love and appreciation of his character. She is the one who asked her father to allow her to marry him, which he did. After 40 years in Midian, Moshe receives his mission from Hashem at the burning bush. Together with his wife and children, he leaves Midian to travel to Egypt. It's a risky journey which Tzipora courageously joined. One night, while they're staying in an inn, Hashem came to kill him, and Tzipora responds and saves him by performing Brit Milah on their son and throwing the orla at his feet, calling him a bridegroom of blood, Chatan Damim. My use of the ambiguous third person is a reflection of the verses. This baby should have had his circumcision. Moshe postpones it because of the dangers of travel. But there are two options brought by Chazal as to what happened. In one, Hashem comes to kill him, the uncircumcised baby, and the title, a bridegroom of blood, was given to the child himself, who thereby becomes a chatan. This title now given to all boys who undergo circumcision. The second opinion is that the angel of death came in the form of a serpent to kill Moshe. He swallows Moshe from his head down to his waist, and then from his feet up to his waist. Zipporah realizes that he's deserving of death for not circumcising their newborn son. Moshe had delayed the Brit Milah due to the rigors of travel, but if we look carefully at the words we see there at the inn, those moments that Moshe decides to first get settled, he's judged for not first doing the circumcision. We're immediately reminded of the original serpent in the Garden of Eden. That serpent, the Yetzer Hara, our evil inclination, humans rationalizing their actions and making their own decisions in contrast to Hashem's commandments. Here Moshe has perhaps made a decision to delay a mitzvah despite Hashem's commandment to circumcise as soon as possible on the eighth day. Specifically regarding Brit Milah, the halacha now is Zlizim Makdimim, zealous people perform this mitzvah early. Mesilat Yesharim discusses alacrity, Zlizut, as the zealousness that someone shows when they have Hashem's will as their first and foremost desire. Tzipporah counterbalances Moshe's rationalization and rushes to do the mitzvah. This week's Parsha brings us Tzipporah's third appearance. She arrives with Yitro to Har Sinai. But wait, wasn't she just with Moshe on the way? We learned that they were both on their way to Egypt. The Midrash fills in the blanks and teaches us further about Tzipporah's greatness. On their journey together to Egypt, Aaron comes out to greet Moshe and then sees other people. Who are these people? He asks. Moshe says, it's been a while. This is my wife and children. But Aaron doesn't say hello and welcome. He asks Moshe, where are you taking them? When Moshe tells him Egypt, Aaron says, how could you add to the pain we have already with the people in Egypt? So Moshe sends her back to her father, and she takes their sons and goes. But Aaron's message doesn't really make sense. There's only suffering from the Jewish people in Egypt, he says, but the Levium weren't enslaved. She could be with them. And we imagine Moshe should argue. I know there's slavery. You think I didn't think of that? I want to be with my wife. Imagine if your spouse got an upgrade and just waved goodbye. Of course you would expect them to try and get you one also. But Moshe doesn't advocate for Tzipporah to join him. And shouldn't she have fought not to go? Not to leave? I don't want to be stuck back in Midian with cooking and laundry. I want to witness the greatness of going out of Egypt. I don't want to be in my father's house. I want to be with the people. We'd think that's how she would respond. But she doesn't argue. Rather, she picks up and leaves. Moshe and Tzipporah understand that Aaron knows on a higher level what Hashem wants. They concede to Aaron's greater understanding. The message that Aaron imparts is deep. He's told that Tzipporah just did Brit Milah on her son, the ultimate connection of physical and spiritual, soaring above physical desires. This Brit Milah is the prelude to sending her back. Why was Moshe swallowed by a serpent? Why not just tell him that he had to circumcise immediately? The serpent is symbolic of Pharaoh. Hashem is telling him they're in slavery because they're not doing the Brit Milah, the mitzvah of Brit Milah, and you can't redeem them because you haven't done Milah either. You'll be swallowed by Mitzrayim as well. Mitzrayim is the ultimate physical reality, and without your son's Brit Milah, you can also lose focus. Tzipporah understands and rushes to do the circumcision. Tzipporah doesn't need to be in Mitzrayim. Aaron is telling them that the nation got stuck in Egypt because they lost focus. But we're going to take them out to make a connection with the spiritual. Tzipporah doesn't need to be in Egypt, not the conceptual or physical Egypt, because she understands that the relationship with Hashem is a covenant, a brit. She's rushed to do the circumcision. The Baal HaTurim says she comes now to Matan Torah and wasn't there before. She got sent back because she didn't need the slavery. She had done Milah and had this brit, the connection. The Arizal teaches deeper, that Tzipporah was extremely upset that she would miss the miracles of leaving Egypt and the joy and praise of singing after the splitting of the sea, but she already had the merit of connection through circumcision. The name Tzipporah, the Arizal teaches, sounds like Tzur Peh, Tzur rock that she used for the Milah, and hints that because of the rock that she took, she had a Peh, a mouth that could sing Shira. So God gave her a chance to sing too. Tzipporah's soul comes back as Devorah the prophetess, and she sang about her connection to Hashem after the victory against the Canaanites. Her name Tzipporah, a bird above ground, essentially connected to the spiritual. Tzipporah flies high, soars up to see the whole world. In Perek Shira, we quote Tehillim 84, even the bird has found a home. Gam tzipor matza bayit udror ken la, a bird builds a nest. The bird personifies the nomadic lifestyle of the Jewish people. We're always on the go, always on a journey, on a search. The bird migrates thousands of miles, but always makes it its way home. However far the Jewish people travel, physically we're spread out over four corners of the earth, but we have inborn GPS satellite to bring us back to the land that we know is home, and spiritually as well. Rashi teaches Bait, to find a home, is the Beit Mikdash. Tzipor is us, the Jewish people. We know truth, and we will make our way back to the temple. So many people get to Israel and they can't explain. They feel like they've come home, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Yisrael alaf shechata, Yisrael hu. No matter how far we stray, we are the children of Israel. Gam tzipo matza bait, we find our way home. Israel speaks to our essence. Torah speaks to our essence. It is home. Moshe's name reminds us he comes from the water. The Maharal says water is the beginning of creation, the basis of the physical world. It has no shape of its own. It encompasses the entire physical and gets into all the crevices of everything. It takes on everything's shape. Who does Moshe, pulled from water, need to marry? The most spiritual animal, a bird. Because it's disconnected from the earth, it flies above in a spiritual reality. This is why a bird is often used to purify. It goes beyond physical desires, flying high above it all. Moshe starts all the way down in water. Moshe comes from water, Tzipora comes from up beyond, and they connect and get married. The letters of Tzipora's name can also spell Pirutza, unboundaried. She comes from Midian, where there's no order, no rules or boundaries. Everyone can be with everyone. She comes from that, but developed and flew high and became Tzipora. He comes from water, also unboundaried, but he needs Tzipora to balance that. Tzipora gives him flight to go up and get the Torah, beyond the physical. Whenever we finish learning a significant section of Mishnah or Gemara, at every Siyum, we say, we run and they run. Anu ratzim vehem ratzim. My family will tell you, I cry at every Siyum. We run to do mitzvot and they run to despair. The greatness of a Jew to hear, and like Tzipora, to rush excitedly to do a mitzvah, to do acts of kindness immediately, to be spiritually present at Har Sinai. As in the redemption from Egypt, so too in all redemptions. We are inspired to merit Tzipora, not to rationalize and calculate, but to rush with joy to every mitzvah, to be excited and intuitively, immediately take advantage of opportunities Hashem puts before us. With this spiritual rush, we can fly to our spiritual destiny. Thank you for learning together.